Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Vice President, thank you for the time.
Thank you. It's good to be with you, Brett.
You know, voters tell pollsters all over the country and here in Pennsylvania that immigration is one of the key issues that they're looking at this election, and specifically the influx of illegal immigrants from more than 150 countries. How many illegal immigrants would you estimate your administration has released into the country over the last 3.5 years?
Well, I'm glad you raised the issue of immigration, because I agree with you. It is a topic of discussion that people want to rightly have. And you know what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, but
right
do you
now,
just a number. Is, do you but, think it's but, 1 million, 3 million?
Brett, let's just get to the point. Okay, the point is that we have a broken immigration system that needs to be repaired.
Well, or you could just answer the question. I mean, there is an alternative here. All right, I'm gonna cut to the very end in summary of this interview. John, did you watch the Kamala Harris?
No, sir, I didn't.
David, did you happen to watch the Kamala Harris interview with Brett Baer?
I did.
You watch all of it?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Did she say a single word that she hadn't said before in substance? She had a couple of little quippy things.
Well, let's be clear here. No, I don't believe so.
Let's be clear. She's the only one who's prosecuted transnational organizations, and Trump sucks.
Yeah, that about summarized
Have I summarized it?
That was pretty much what I got out of the entirety of it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I won't encourage you to give opinions on the air. I'll let you go back to working on the news. but no, seriously, it was a train wreck. And not because she stumbled and gaffed and couldn't remember things. You know how a robot is only capable of outputting the information that it's programmed to output? I think I've said what I want to say about it. But really, it was so weird. Every time he would ask her something interesting, different, press her on all she could do is return to the standard 8 talking points that she has been memorizing and repeating. And as Charlemagne the God, I did not watch the interview. I read the headline, so I apologize if I get it wrong, but accused her of filibustering with every time she does anything even close to a substantial interview, which she hasn't done many of. It was so wild. I was captivated. Just watching it as an exercise in non-human behavior.
Your Homeland Security Secretary said that 85% of apprehensions.
I'm not finished. We have an immigration
system. It's a rough estimate of 6 million people have been released into the country. And let me just finish. I'll get to the question, I promise you.
I was beginning to answer.
And
you were never beginning to answer a single thing in this interview. Not one time.
Looking back, do you regret the decision to terminate Remain in Mexico at the beginning of your administration?
At the beginning of our administration, within practically hours of taking the oath, the first bill that we offered Congress, before we worked on infrastructure, before the Inflation Reduction Act, before the CHIPS and Science Act, before the bipartisan Safer Communities Act, the first bill, practically within hours of taking the oath, was a bill to fix our immigration system.
Yes, ma'am. It was called the U.S. Citizenship Act of 2021.
Exactly.
It was essentially a pathway to citizenship for the...
May I finish responding, please?
But
you have to let me finish,
You
please.
Had the White House and the House and the Senate,
I'm
and they
the
didn't bring up
responding
that bill.
I'm in the middle of responding to the point you're raising.
Okay.
And I'd like to finish.
Yes, ma'am.
I have memorized this answer, sir. And I am unwilling to do anything but recite to you. I will get confused, sir, if I'm not allowed to give you the answer that I have memorized. Stop interrupting me with your facts and your assessments and your actual questions. Let me give you my script. God, my programmers are going to be so angry if I don't say it the way they told me to say it.
But more importantly, back to the original premise, Jocelyn Nungeri, Rachel Morin, Lakin Riley, they are young women who were brutally assaulted and killed by some of the men who were released at the beginning of the administration, well before a negotiated bipartisan bill. Former President Clinton actually referred to Lakin Riley Sunday, campaigning for you in Georgia, saying if those men had been properly vetted, Lakin Riley probably would not have been killed. So if it wouldn't have happened, this is well before any negotiation. This is well before Donald Trump got involved in the politics. This is a specific policy decision by your administration to release these men into the country. So what I'm saying to you,
do you owe those families an apology? Let me just say, first of all, those are tragic cases. There's no question about that. There is no question about that. And I can't imagine the pain that the families of those victims have experienced for a loss that should not have occurred. So that is true.
But why did it occur? What policies led to the tragic incident that I have been told not to take responsibility for? I'm amazed she agreed to go on Fox News. And I will say this. How many people who watch Fox News were going to vote for Kamala Harris before this interview? 2-3 people? You know, right? I mean, it seems unlikely that there are many. So you might make the argument that no matter how bad she does, she doesn't lose anything. Because you know that the rest of the media world isn't going to pick up on this much and certainly isn't going to talk about it honestly. I mean, I watched the NBC summary this morning and, you know, the only clip they played was later on in the thing when Brett Baer says, well, if Donald Trump is so bad, because that was her whole argument the whole time, is Donald Trump is terrible again and again and again. Everything is about Trump. Nothing about Biden, nothing about her other, you know, claiming that they would have solved immigration on day one. God, if only they had the White House and the Senate. Oh, wait, you did. Wait, what? How didn't it happen? You know, well, because Trump came in 3 years later and thwarted a deal that we waited until the last minute right before an election we were scared to put forward. Oh, really? That doesn't answer the question either. Anyway, so there is sort of a political dimension to this, like a strategery, that maybe it doesn't hurt her to do this badly in an interview on Fox News because it's on Fox News. You know, I don't know how many people who are, let's say, you know, Morning Joe fans sat down and watched Kamala Harris on Brett Baer last night. I mean, they're already voting for her, and they're going to think Brett Baer is a big mean bully anyway. So why would they watch? And if they do watch, they probably think, oh, he's just badgering her. Why won't he let her answer a question with a 3-minute scripted answer that she's given 14 times before? Why won't he let her say her talking points?
This election in 20 days will determine whether we have a president of the United States who actually cares more about fixing a problem, even if it is not to their political advantage in an election, because there was a solution, Brett.
Madam Vice President, it was a policy decision in the early part of your administration. I will let one of the mothers talk about it. Take a listen.
Because of the Biden-Harris administration open border policies catch and release, they were enrolled in the Alternatives to Detention program. This meant that they were released into the United States. It was not even a full 3 weeks later that they would take my daughter Jocelyn Nungeri's life. I believe the Biden-Harris administration open border policies are responsible for the death of my daughter.
That's the early days So do you owe them an apology is what I'm saying.
I will tell you that I am so sorry for her loss. I am so sorry for her loss. Sincerely. But let's talk about what is happening right now with an individual who does not want to participate in solutions. Let's talk about that as well.
But do you want to answer
in all fairness, I told you, I feel awful for what she and her family have experienced.
During that time, you said repeatedly that the border was secure. When in your mind did it start becoming a crisis?
I think we've had a broken immigration system transcending, by the way, Donald Trump's administration even before. Let's all be honest about that. I have no pride in saying that this is a perfect immigration system. I've been clear, I think we all are, that it needs to be fixed.
But it's not like my fault. It's not my boss's fault. It's, you know, we tried to fix it this summer. Yeah, but all these things happened 2 and 3 years ago. But it was bad for years before that. I mean, yeah, we reversed all these executive orders, and yeah, we changed the stay in Mexico policy, and yeah, we let a flood of illegal immigrants in. We're not going to name the number, even though you know, my own people have said it was around 6 million people. But I'm just so sorry for this outcome. You ever challenge like a friend or maybe a spouse or you know a coworker? Just I mean somebody who's betrayed you, okay? Done you wrong, made a bad choice even. Doesn't have to be the big betrayal. It could just be they made a bad choice. And you say, here's what you did, here's what happened. What do you have to say for yourself? Like, I'm so sorry for that outcome. Yeah, but you caused it. Are you apologizing for the decision? Or are you just expressing sympathy for the outcome of your decision? part of what amazed me in this interview was, I don't know how to do this. I've told you before, one of the things that I'm not great at is people who is like, I don't really know how to lie. Like, I've never learned this. I'm actually envious of people who know how to lie. You can say that's a weird thing, but it is. It's true. I don't know how to do it. And so because I don't know how to do it, anytime people do it, I'm always like, oh, that's amazing. You've got great acting skill. That's fantastic. I'm also amazed at this ability to avoid a question, which is another kind of lie, right? I can't do it. I have been trained so deeply that you address the question, you honor the person asking it. If they're asking an unfair question, it's okay to point out that the question is flawed or unfair or has a illogical premise built into it. I mean, that's perfectly fair game. But if somebody asks you a fair question, you answer the question. That's having a conversation. And so the strategy that so many politicians have mastered, which I think is, it's honestly, it's a different kind of lying. It's an unwillingness to engage in, you know, rational dialogue, is to not answer the question, to avoid it. And listen, I know what those of you who are Kamala Harris supporters are. There's some form of this thought in your head. Yeah, but Trump. Oh, yeah, Trump's terrible, too. yes, I know. He's infuriating, too. But he wasn't the one sitting down for this interview with the other side last night on Special Report with Brett Baer. So I've got her in front of me. Which one's worse? Well, I mean, ultimately you have to decide. But you cannot tell me that this was anything but a train wreck. And this evasion, this unwillingness to actually just answer. You know what I would have had, honestly. I think I've told you something like this before, but I'll say it again. I have respect for people who admit they were wrong. God, it costs you nothing when everybody knows. That's the funny thing. If she had just, God, can you imagine? She had just said, Brett, look, we came into office. Donald Trump had done so much to poison this debate. And so much that was wrong. And we reversed a lot of his policies. We did. And we let an awful lot of people in that we shouldn't let in. And some of those people committed crimes. We did. We are so sorry. It is our fault. People died because we made mistakes. We have learned from those mistakes. We have tried to do it better since. We are willing to continue to learn from those mistakes. And I know that on the border, we have just not done what we should have done. And I'm so sorry. But I promise you, we will do better. And here's how we're going to do better. Oh my God. Look, we found a human. We chipped away the control panel and we found a person underneath all of that. But we didn't get that. What we got was...
We are very clear, and I am very clear.
We didn't get that at all. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself. And my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And when you need more comfort for yourself, try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors.
Use as directed. VapoStick for use ages 4 and up. VapoShower Max use for adults only.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, okay, hotshot. We're going to see what kind of soldier you are. Reveille's on 500.
Spend my days with a woman unkind. Smoke my stuff and drink all my wine.
It is a bit of a juxtaposition to play Sergeant Hulka up against going to California. But that's okay. That's okay. I'll own it. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, let me be clear. I've got great headlines. Lots of headlines. There's... Anybody else with headlines out there is very dangerous, and you should stay away from them. President Biden's in Germany today. He'll be participating in a summit with the leaders of Germany, France, and the UK. On the table is support for Ukraine and its war against the Russian invasion and efforts to stabilize the Middle East. His trip was rescheduled from last week after Hurricane Milton. The Federal Trade Commission making it easier to cancel digital subscriptions. They announced that they'd be putting a final click rule or a final click to cancel rule in place. And that would require sellers to make it as easy for consumers to cancel an enrollment as it was for them to sign up.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting one. The premise is it can be no harder to get in than it is to get out. Right.
Yes.
And also that if you go in person, that there has to be like an online option to cancel. This is for gym memberships. This is for your Columbia House.
Are they still sending you CDs, Andrew?
Man, I wish. No, but this is for all those things that you know. I wonder how timeshares work in this. I don't think they're affected by it because it's not an ongoing contract. It's a purchase, unfortunately. But yeah, no, I actually like this concept. they're being challenged by, like, what, the Chamber of Commerce and folks, because they're saying it's burdensome to adapt to this new rule and that the law doesn't give them the authority to make companies make this true. This may be one of those cases where, as a consumer, I'm like, I just don't really care what the law is. This is the right thing. Like, this is Absolutely. A good thing. Was that your last one, or do you have a third one?
That's all I got for right now.
All right, very good. 5:30 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yeah, it is. I mean, and the argument is that they have either rushed this in an election year, that it's designed to be an election year ploy to come up with some new cool gimmicky thing that can make them look like they're on the side of consumers or whatever. And it may be, but it's still a good idea, even if that's true. Why didn't you do it 3 years ago?
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. In her first ever formal interview on Fox News Channel, Vice President Kamala Harris is asked by Bret Baier, if former President Trump is so bad, why do so many people support him?
Listen, are they stupid? What is it?
I would never say that about the American people. And in fact, if you listen to Donald Trump, if you watch any of his rallies, he's the one who tends to demean and belittle and diminish.
She campaigns in Wisconsin today. Trump speaks at a Catholic charity fundraising dinner in New York. Long-range American B-2 bomber jets hit underground storage sites in Yemen used by Houthi rebels backed by Iran.
A senior U.S. official tells Fox these airstrikes were a response to the Houthis' year-long destabilizing behavior. Houthi fighters have launched at least 270 attacks on military and commercial ships in the Red Sea and Gulf of Aden since last November. They've also shot down at least 8 American Reaper drones.
Fox's Jonathan Savage, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, it is a chilly start to our morning. We've got 45 degrees and mostly clear skies right now in Pensacola. 8 men facing drug charges. This is after a years-long law enforcement operation. They called this Operation Last Supper, and it wrapped up recently in Santa Rosa County. The arrested men, all from Santa Rosa County, from the Milton area, and a few from Pace. And 2 of the men arrested face federal conspiracy charges, the rest facing various drug possession and drug trafficking charges. And Sheriff Bob Johnson said this was an operation years in the making. As a result of the operation, deputies seized 5.6 kilos of cocaine, 6.7 grams of fentanyl, methamphetamine, hydrocodone, THC edibles, marijuana, $64,623 in drug money, and several firearms as well. Well, the Florida debate on the legalization of marijuana is going to be settled next month with Amendment 3 that would legalize the possession and use of recreational marijuana for any adult over 21 years old.
If this passes, the legislature still has the ability to regulate where marijuana can be consumed, meaning, you know, you're not going to necessarily have this massive, uprising of people smoking in public. You may initially, until legislators or local governments regulate it, but it wouldn't be a guarantee that that would occur.
And that is State Representative Alex Andrade, who talked with Channel 3. The amendment would allow for an individual to possess up to 3 ounces of pot, and it would not allow people to grow their own cannabis. Florida law requires a 60% approval for Amendment 3 to be put into the state constitution. Now, the city of Pensacola has approved a first reading of 2 ordinances that would ban camping on public and private properties. The laws in response to the state's HB 1365, which local governments have to enforce or they could be sued. Starting in January, Mayor Reeves says he's heard lots of different opinions on how bad homelessness is in the city.
You know, everybody's got a different opinion. You could see someone on MLK Plaza and say, oh, my gosh, homelessness is out of control. You can look at the Excel spreadsheet that our community response specialists send me every single week with the dozens of interactions that we have and where we get people put into services. And you could look at that and say, man, you know, the city's being proactive. Maybe not every person that's homeless that I see on the street is on drugs or, you know, people have been a flat tire away from being homeless.
And Reeves tells News Radio that the reason Pensacola appears to have a bigger issue with homelessness than other nearby cities like Gulf Breeze or Destin is just because of the larger population base. Well, it's the official sign that fall is here. The Interstate Fair kicking off today. That's going to open with Dollar Day starting at 4 p.m. Admission is $1 for everybody ages 4 and up. Rides are also $1 each. As far as entertainment today, our sister station Cat Country 98.7 will be at the fair. They're running their big lip sync battle on the main stage, and that starts at 7. The fair runs through the 27th. The group backing Amendment 4 is suing two state officials. Floridians Protecting Freedom filed a lawsuit yesterday against State Surgeon General Dr. Joseph Latipo and former Florida Department of Health Counsel John Wilson. FPF is the group responsible for Amendment 4. If passed, it would legalize abortion until fetal viability. The lawsuit claims the state violated FPF's free speech rights by threatening TV stations with criminal prosecution if they didn't pull down an ad that was in favor of the amendment. It is 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Again, a bit chilly start to the morning right now. It's 45 degrees in Pensacola, 49 in Gulf Breeze, and we've got 44 degrees in Milton. Our next news at 6, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Disney has announced the Lightning Lane Premier Pass, a new top-tier ticket option that will allow riders to skip the Lightning Lane lines and attend attractions without reserving the time prior. The pilot program will launch October 30th and will cost up to $450 per person. The Verge has reported that Meta is laying off employees across multiple units, including Instagram, WhatsApp, and Reality Labs. The report did not specify the exact number of job cuts, but did mention that they were small. A Meta spokesperson told Reuters in a statement that a few of its teams were making changes to align with their long-term strategic goals. Officials have expanded a Bruce Pack recall that now applies to nearly 12 million pounds of ready-to-eat meat and poultry items due to possible listeria contaminations. The updated advisory impacts hundreds of products sold at stores like Costco, Trader Joe's, and more. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
Join Robbie Mott from Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Robbie will be sharing his years of expertise on cycling, how to select your perfect bike, best maintenance practices, on and off-road safety, plus the accessories you may need to provide you with the best overall biking experience. Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
There are approximately 5,000 media market radio stations in the country, and only one was recognized for excellence by winning the prestigious Marconi Award from the National Association of Broadcasters at a ceremony in New York City.
News Radio 92.3,
the Media Market Station of the Year. Thanks to you. This is Pensacola's news, weather, and traffic station.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
So I have a problem with this because I don't think it's a necessary ordinance. It's kind of like we put things in the Constitution I don't agree with. I don't think we necessarily need this.
And the reality is we have a city to operate, and I'm tasked with operating the city. And we have two gentlemen back there who are tasked with keeping us safe and tasked with adhering to state law. And to not do this and only give ambiguity to our community response specialists, to our community as a whole, for a state law that we must adhere to or be sued, that's not a palatable solution.
So this was the conversation about the camping ban, the B part. Remember, there's an A and a B part to the camping ban's first reading that the city took up last Thursday. The B part is the part that complies with the state law that basically gives enforcement mechanisms for the Pensacola Police Department to remove people from camping in public areas. Charles Baer saying that it's totally not necessary. The mayor and actually Allison Patton before that responding that it really is necessary. And the whole point is, you know, putting them out there without a mechanism to enforce it is going to put us in the position of getting sued. We talked to the mayor about this, among other things, yesterday. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before, but, you know, for people who are kind of new to the conversation, yeah, just to get us up to date, the B ban is to give teeth so that you have something to do to defend against the potential lawsuits coming in January for camping on public areas. The A ban is to expand the definition in order to solve the problem that we are experiencing with homeless people camping on private property and on commercial property, right?
That's correct. Exactly. Yeah. The public obviously is to adhere to 1365, and the private is to try to, you know, balance making sure that people have access to services and need it and all those other things that we're doing. But also, as we can both, give anecdotal examples across the city, across the county, that has really tied our hands with some of these private property issues and with not much that we can do. We're not trying to impede on anybody's property rights. We're trying to keep people safe, and we're trying to make sure that we balance those two things. And so the private property is trying to address those the best way we can.
You made a really interesting comment. You said in the council meeting, you said that when you meet with your 350 mayors across America and with your, you know, mayoral leadership classes, that like nobody has solved this. But I got some texts in response to that, and it's my own observation that, you know, we just don't have this problem like in Gulf Breeze or in Destin or in some other places. It's sort of like, yes, a lot of people have this problem, but it doesn't quite seem to be everywhere. Have you managed to figure out why it's some places but not everywhere, and why it is such an intractable problem in the places where it does exist?
The best way to describe this, when we talked about housing the other day and you said, man, wouldn't it be nice if we could identify, you know, A and B and C, and we could all have clarity just as a society around what affordable and workforce and all those things mean. Multiply that ambiguity by times 50, and then you have the homeless situation, which is, you know, everybody's got a different opinion. You could see someone on MLK Plaza and say, oh, my gosh, homelessness is out of control. You can look at the Excel spreadsheet that our community response specialists send me every single week with the dozens of interactions that we have and where we get people put into services. And you could look at that and say, man, you know, the city's being proactive. Maybe not every person that's homeless that I see on the street is on drugs or, you know, people have been a flat tire away from being homeless. And so everybody, you talk about not being able to ever really get a full grasp on what people believe it's fact about this issue. And I think that's what makes it so complex. There's probably a little veil of truth in all of it, you know, a little in some way. Sometimes we take it a little further and stereotype certain situations that the city is or isn't doing this, that the homeless population is or isn't doing this. So that's why it's very, very almost impossible to master, is because what is success? So if success is, I don't see someone on my drive to work today, that might be success and it might not be.
Right.
It depends on what's going on. And so, listen, why 350 mayors? I'm probably one of the smallest cities in U.S. Conference of Mayors, certainly in the leadership group, maybe the second or third smallest. You see more visible homelessness where there's bigger populations. So you want to use an example like Gulf Breeze. Take Gulf Breeze, for example. Where is, if these are folks that are panhandling, are wanting, you know, access to pedestrian, where is that center in Gulf Breeze? Just as an example. So, you know, I mean, it's Highway 98, which is probably not, an ideal place for someone who's not wanting a hand up, but wanting a hand out. And so naturally
you're going to see more visible homelessness in areas where there's a larger population base. That's just
I very much agree with your assessment that it's such a complicated problem, because take any given unhoused person or homeless person, and then, you know, look across the spectrum of things that might be true or not true of them. Has a job, doesn't have a job, uses alcohol, uses drugs, doesn't use either one or the other, has a pet, doesn't have a pet, has kids, doesn't have kids, has a car, doesn't have a car, has enough money to afford shelter once in a while, has mental illness, doesn't have mental illness, wants help, doesn't want help. And all of a sudden, you've got 40 or 50 different combinations, and solving a global problem, as you say, the end result is people really just don't want to see them, on the way to work. How do you know you're winning without some dashboard or comprehensive research? I mean, it's hard to know. I know you're a big devotee of having the data, having the information, studying the problem. I think a community dashboard that has as much information as possible about who is, what age, if they're getting treatment, where they're at in the process would help us feel like we are or are not making progress. But I wanted to give you a chance to respond because I threw a lot at you, but go ahead.
Yeah. No, listen, that's exactly right. We all define success or lack thereof in this topic completely differently, whether you're a nonprofit that's helping reduce homelessness, whether you're someone that goes to a bar on Palafox and sees someone. Everybody defines it differently, and that's what makes it kind of hard to tackle. It almost, perhaps, depending on who you're talking to, unattainable. All you have to do is go read my email, the spectrum of emails from I'm over policing homelessness, and then I'll get one an hour later that says I'm doing nothing about it. It's a tough situation, but we just got to stick to do it, helping people that need a hand up, and our citizens. For when you talk about aggressive panhandling and things like that, that's my biggest recommendation to people: do not support panhandlers. If you want to want less visible homelessness, then ask your family and your friends to not be giving money out of their window. That does not solve any problem. We have tons of services available here that can help people who need help. And I think that's what I think cities battle, for the most part.
Yeah, it is. Definitely.
Anyway, it's a tough situation.
Yeah, sure. It's a self-inflicted wound. We're generous, we're helpful, we're a lot of high Christian population, and we feel good about giving. We want to give. I mean, this goes back to my Leadership Pensacola class did a thing on a better way to give, avoid the pan. And, you're right. You get what you feed. Yep. Right. And so, we're reinforcing a behavior that we're trying to curb. Other topics I wanted to make sure that we talked with you about at least a little. Did I hear you right and say that Marina Corey with DPZ is going to come work on Community Maritime Park?
Yeah, that's right. So
that's a huge win for us. That's great. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's all right. No, during our conversation about Parcel 5, there's lots of conversation about making sure that what in 2019, the West Main Master Plan, that the citizens said, this is what we want. Making sure that we held to that. So if you recall, before the lease got approved, we kind of had her analyze it and give her thoughts, and we made, we had the Dawson Group make some adjustments to that, and I think that was appreciated by the council and by the citizens. And so I said, well, after that meeting, I said, why don't we take it a step further? Why don't we hire her as our consultant of the city? So if she's in the room as this building is being designed. And really a process I'd like to repeat at every parcel that we do there, as long as I'm the mayor, is to say, hey, now we have – no one can refute what Marina believes meets the West Main Master Plan because, I don't know, she wrote it.
Right.
I think that will be really valuable. She doesn't get some authoritative, approval or anything like that, but her job is to be in the room with Gensler – who's a world famous architect. They'll do a great job, but she's able to just be in there, listen to those conversations and be able to just make sure that our plan is reflected. So that was just trying to take it another step further and give that level of comfort to our council and to our citizens to make sure that.
No, I think it's great. I think that one of the big failures at the county is that they brought in DPZ to do the one master plan at OLF 8, and then because of personality conflicts and they couldn't, they decided that they didn't want to work with her again for the Beulah master plan. That would have been the perfect thing. They know the community, they're fantastic, and they know how to integrate with the other stuff. But no, so that, I mean, that's a big win for the city. Congratulations on that. Let's just talk briefly. We don't have a lot of time, but the Cobb Center, what is the plan?
Yeah, so it's about a $1.7 million lift. Andrew, I can't go on your show for too many weeks without having something broken that I need to fix.
I know. So, a lot, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just you name it.
But Cobb Center, it was on its way to where Malcolm Young was found when I got here, which, and I said that during the Malcolm Young saga, was hey, this building is probably too far gone, and and when the council in 2020 pulled $715,000 away from this project, they signed the death certificate at that time, and now we have an opportunity to not let that happen on my watch. So it's about a $1.7 million lift for the roof, for the Glulam arches that were much debated, that were, you know, I don't know if we can find that guy that said they're going to do them for $200,000, but our price is $1.7 million. So, wow. You know, and I think this only reinforces, this is a community center in much better shape than Malcolm Young was in. And we're our price tag just for the outside envelope, nothing inside, is $1.7 million. So, but this is the right thing to do. This is a community center that is in the public good. It's being used by our city and our children right now, not leased out to someone else. And we have a chance to catch it before it gets to where Malcolm Young got. So very excited to work with Councilwoman Broughton on that. And it's a vital part of that East Side neighborhood. So Roy Jones Jr. was there with us, Commissioner May.
Yep.
So it was a very good day in the city to start the process and announcement that we're going to save that building.
And also just, I mean, as a sort of a note, a very similar architectural style as the Malcolm Young Center, and people who don't maybe know the two of them separately might have been confused. Like, I thought we tore that down, you know, cause they look so similar,
they
right?
Look very similar. Yeah.
I'll just give you 20 seconds. They're going to tear down the home you lived in that also was lived in by, who was the historic figure that lived there and all of a sudden? Vince Wibbs, right?
Did Vince Wibbs live there? I don't know about that.
I thought that's what Channel 3 said, was that Vince Wibbs lived there at one time. Maybe I heard them wrong.
Well, I was 2 years old when I left there, so I don't have a lot of memories. But nonetheless, you know, look, it's kind of interesting. People, this is private property rights and someone's ability to do something.
Yep.
And this is our government in action. We said, hey, we put in a rule that says we can delay a demolition for 60 days to be able to further analyze it. I think that process, you know, we'll see what happens at that ARB meeting this week, but I expect that to take place. And look, it's a dilemma. You know, the builder's a good Pensacola person, Pensacola family that is invested in the city. And if that's their right to do on private property, you know, again, you know, I'd love to conserve every piece of character that we have within reason. And if that happens here, great. But again, certainly no one can say that they're not more personally invested in this this project than me, in terms of this being the home I came to after Baptist Hospital on March 25th, 1984. But, you know, nonetheless, we've got to navigate those two things. And so it's a difficult situation. And we'll see how it plays out and see what their plans ultimately are.
I may have been wrong about the Vince Wibbs. It was somebody, and I was looking on the WEAR story to see if I could remember who it was. But if it was Vince Wibbs and it was two mayors, then I think we probably ought to keep it. But yeah, I get that you have the process. Hey, the lightning round, we always like to end with the quick round. First question for you. Last week it was beer and pizza, National Beer and Pizza Day. Beer is obviously the right drink to go with pizza. What's the wrong drink to go with pizza?
Yeah, I mean, I've never craved a glass of Cabernet or anything. You know, when I was at the pizza.
It's too much of a socioeconomic clash to have red wine with your pizza. All right, I get you. What's that?
I said, or milk. That would be a weird one, too.
That's right. Super weird, John Pickens. Super weird to drink milk with your pizza. John drinks milk with his pizza. A lot of movies out there, trilogies plus 3, 8, 10 series long. What's your personal favorite trilogy plus movie series?
Remember, you know, I always get beat up on the show because I haven't seen Star Wars.
It's okay. We're not gonna focus
Indiana
on that.
Jones. Yeah, so I'm trying to even think. It would be some... It's not going to be a fun answer, Andrew. It's not going to be, you know, I'm trying to think. It's going to be like, you know, some three versions of Dumb and Dumber or something. Remember that's my favorite movie.
Naked Gun. All right, fair. No, I'll let you slide on that.
That's a pretty good one.
And then the last one,
Nothing comes top of mind. I don't watch all those sci-fi movies.
You're busy running businesses in a city. Who's got time to watch all that TV? I got you.
Exactly.
Yeah, I do. last one. You'll like this because you're a sports guy. Would you rather have your team win a blowout victory that's boring because it's such a blowout, or lose a narrow, nail-biter, exciting, thrilling game?
Oh, I mean, absolute blowout. We're not here to make friends. We're 56-0, 100-0. I mean, there's nothing worse than an L. I mean, a painful loss. We can't handle that. We can win 200-0. That's okay.
Well, there's a lot of people on your side on that one. That's not my view, but that's fair. That's why I like to ask. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure, sir. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you so much for the time.
All right, thank you.
What was his line? He said, it's not what? It's sports. It's not friendship or something. What was his line? Do you remember? I blinked there with my ears. It was a good line, I thought. So, all right. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, I mean, genuinely, people who are committed to getting the end result of getting you all the way through to the deal, right? Getting it closed and sold or bought if you're buying. But the reason I say it that way is because there often are problems, right? Delays, obstacles, hurdles, roadblocks. You know, people try to back out when, you know, really you can rescue the deal if you know how to do it. And I say that because it takes experience to solve those problems. You know, you get experience the second time, you know, you have experience the 50th time, right? Like, that's kind of the idea. Well, they sold 175 homes last year, and prior to that, a couple hundred, and this year, 130 so far, and you know, I'm sure they'll get around that same total this year in a real estate market that's pretty slow right now compared to what it had been a few years ago. And the reason I say that is because, you know, the person who works in your car a couple of times or works on a car a couple of times knows something. The person who fixes 1,000 cars or 200 cars a year, they have a different level of knowledge. Well, that's Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. They get experience, even in knowing what's normal. You know, is this normal behavior for a buyer? Yeah. Is that a concession that I should make as a seller? I know it's weird, but yeah, you should. Or no, half of that you can offer. You know, like, that's the kind of advice that you want from a good realtor. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up.
But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back.
Woo!
And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Visit Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze for custom engraving and unique gifts. Specializing in creating extraordinary keepsakes, their expert engravers bring your vision to life with elegant monograms, personalized messages, and logos. Whether it's custom drinkware, engraved glassware, or home decor, each piece is crafted with attention to detail for any occasion. Perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, or corporate gifts, Prim and Proper ensures your gift will leave a lasting impression. Stop by their Gulf Breeze location or visit them online at primandproper.com.
Ready to unplug from the ordinary? To let loose? To open your mind? To sample a little bit of everything? To enjoy some culture? Find all this and so much more at the 11th Annual Foo Foo Fest, October 31st to November 11th. Start planning today at foofoofest.com.
Want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Danny's gone away, Mrs. Torrance.
We're getting close to Halloween, so I'm playing a few more of our scary movie clips in my little drops there. And yeah, The Shining will get his attention. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Yes, I am. Hold on, let me get to that part of the screen. Here we go. The extended family of the Menendez brothers, the subject of the second season of the Netflix crime drama series Monster, are now rallying for their release from a California prison. Eric and Lyle Menendez were found guilty of killing their parents in Beverly Hills. That was like 30 years ago.
Yeah, my God, a long time ago.
Well, they've always maintained they didn't kill them for the money, but because their father had been molesting them for years and their mother stood by him. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
extended family calling for their release now.
It's a weird twist on a very old story that everybody has settled opinions about. Is the problem.
Stream us at News Radio.